It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, June 2nd, 2022. On our ship schedule today, we have two inbounders, we have three outbound vessels, and we have five vessels anchored in the river near Astoria. In our marine weather forecast, the weather gurus are reminding us that a more active weather pattern is expected to return by the end of the work week, with increasingly southerly winds over the weekend. So active pattern, that's weather speak for stormy weather and rain. So expect the weekend to be a bit messy. Our marine weather forecast today calls for south winds as high as 5 knots, wind waves from the south 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, west swells 5 feet high at 11 seconds between wave crests. And today we're going to be talking about proposed wind power projects for the West Coast. So far, any wind turbine projects proposed here in the U.S. so far have been on the East Coast, but that is changing here with new technology, so we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have two inbounders. They are the Tassos N, arriving from Port Angeles, headed for the Longview Anchorage, picking up wheat there. Passing Astoria, probably came in about 1:30 a.m. past Astoria and arrived in Longview at 5 a.m., so a very early inbounder. Our second and only other inbounder today is quite late at night. She will be the Tug C-SPAN Rogue, arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She'll get there by about 11 p.m., and I think probably what she's doing in the Astoria Anchorage is picking up a barge. So I think the drill on this is that this tug and others like her come down from Vancouver, British Columbia, so the Puget Sound area generally, come down here towing a barge, usually loaded with lime, if I understand correctly. They hand it off to a U.S. flag barge somewhere between Astoria and the mouth of the river, so maybe off Hammond and Warrenton. And then that tug, the C-SPAN Rogue, will continue to Astoria and anchor and pick up another barge that will be there waiting for her and take that out to sea to another destination. In our Astoria anchorages, we have five vessels that are all awaiting orders: the NS Hung Ju, the Ad Astra, the Anatoly, the BBG Guigang, and the Korn Riju. All those vessels will be heading upriver eventually to pick up cargo. In our outbounders, we have three of those. The America Greca is a dry bulk carrier leaving Portland carrying wheat, leaving around 7 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 1 p.m. And our next outbounder is the Texas. She is a petroleum tanker leaving Portland, leaving around 10 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 a.m. on Friday. And the Vienna Wood N is leaving Portland from the port of Portland carrying potash used to make fertilizer, leaving around 10 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 a.m. on Friday. So there are big gaps in our outbound and inbound ships today. So there may be big stretches during the day where you don't see any ships at all, and then you'll see one going by. And that's pretty typical. I mean, that's because cargo ships kind of travel at their own discretion. They travel when they're loaded. When they're done loading, they leave. That really depends on how long it takes for them to finish what they're doing. And they arrive here kind of when they can as well. They can be affected. That can be affected by weather, by availability of a berth, a lot of factors. So this is not a thing like a train or a bus schedule where you say the ship's going to be here at 2 o'clock. Sometimes that happens, but other times, sometimes the ships adjust their schedules when they arrive and depart based on what is actually happening. So I always say that these times that I tell you here on the ship report for them are estimated times, and they can always change to be here a little sooner or be here a little later. So as a ship watcher, you just have to kind of roll with it. And if you want to see ships in real time, you can always go to marinetraffic.com and click your way through the map of the world to our area here. And you can see those ships moving in real time on the river, little icons for each ship. It's kind of interesting to check that out. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about projects being proposed using wind power for electricity here on the West Coast. We hear a lot about this kind of alternative energy with regards to the East Coast, but not much is said about wind power here in the Pacific Northwest and on the California coast. One reason for that, historically at least, is that our shorelines here are steep, and we don't have the shallow, wide continental shelf here that they have off the Atlantic coast. For instance, the continental shelf here is narrow, measuring only about 20 miles wide, whereas its counterpart on the East Coast extends more than 75 miles wide. And so fixed turbines mounted on the bottom are not as feasible here. But new wind power technology has made floating wind turbines possible, and that might be a game changer. Right now, the Federal Bureau of Energy Management is seeking public comment on two potential wind energy lease sites off the Oregon coast. It's the first such action in Oregon. Oregon lawmakers last year passed a law directing state officials to study the potential for offshore wind development. And one Seattle-based company called Trident Winds has submitted a lease request to build a wind farm off Washington's Olympic Peninsula. The project, as planned so far, would produce 2,000 megawatts of electricity. That's enough to power 800,000 homes, with a projection that the wind farm could be producing power by 2030. President Biden has set a target of 30 gigawatts of offshore wind power nationwide by 2030. Further south on the Pacific coast, the California Coastal Commission voted unanimously in April to approve the lease phase of a project off the Northern California coast. The vote is the most significant step yet toward realizing the West Coast's first commercial wind farm, but that will need federal approval. This summer, the commission will hold a hearing to make a similar determination for another wind energy area on the Central California coast. Wind, by the way, is now America's top renewable electricity source, and it's expanding. There are currently 20 offshore wind projects slated for the next 5 years, with a total value of $61 billion. Current projects are underway in Massachusetts, New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia, and New York. There's been concern and opposition to East Coast wind projects from commercial fishermen. As a result of pushback from commercial fishing interests, millions of acres were cut out of Massachusetts' wind energy lease area. And in 2019, wind energy developers in the region also changed the orientation of their turbines in order to make it easier for fishing boats to travel between them. Alterations that the companies initially said cut about 30% of the future wind farm's potential generation capacity, but then an upgrade to newer, more powerful turbines made up the difference in power generation. So the wind industry seems to be working with fishermen to create compromises there. We'll see how that plays out here as these West Coast projects progress. I'll keep you posted as I know more. I want to learn more about how, for instance, in a place where the weather regularly tears navigational and weather buoys weighing many tons out of their ocean moorings and tosses them up on the beach like rag dolls, which is here, how floating turbines will withstand those kinds of forces. I'm sure they have a plan for this. I'm just curious about the details, so I'll look forward to that and to sharing anything else I learn about this with you as it evolves. Sources for this report include the Encyclopedia Britannica, Time Magazine, and the Pew Charitable Trusts. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.